On the bulletin after my name, it says a parochial vicar. We can maybe add to that now award-winning chef. So, thank you. So we've reclaimed the title of People's Choice Award back to the consortium. Father Hahn won it a couple years ago, and I won it with some help from the sisters last Friday night. So that means there's, you know, two priests in that rectory who are award-winning chefs. Father Dooley better step up his game. The proof is in the pudding, so we'll see. But you know, and cooking something like that is you know, so delightful, and to, you know, make something that, you know, tastes so good and so savory is a wonderful sort of image for us, for even with the scripture readings we have, how like even flavors and ingredients that are like imperceptible to the eye can add such, you know, such flavor to a dish. And so too with us living good lives, those who have flavor enough to flavor the world are those who follow their conscience. One's conscience is much more than a personal preference or an opinion on some matter. And a good conscience is not moved by a passing whim or fancy, but is firmly grounded in the truth. A conscience is the most intimate sanctuary of a person, where he or she can be alone with God and whose voice echoes within them. It's God's voice we must hear in our conscience, not our own. And it's not an audible instruction on each decision, but it's the Holy Spirit's prompting. Do this, avoid that. And we put into action those promptings of a well-formed conscience in our daily lives. My conscience is indeed my own. The church has always upheld that, respecting the conscience of the individual person. But ideally, it acts in accord with the word which God speaks and creates. And that which God creates is very good. Acting on a good conscience gives light and flavor to a world bland with the monotony of individualistic preferences and sins. And the more a correct conscience prevails, so much more do persons and groups abandon blind whims and work to conform with the objective norms of morality. So these norms which are good and true. We could say that sounds boring, but such action adds flavor to the world. To us, sometimes acting in accord with a good moral conscience can sound prudish and boring, but it adds the flavor of Jesus Christ to a world that needs it. If we flavor trash with salt, it is still trash, and we've wasted the salt. But if we flavor good soup with salt, we can taste all the flavors in that good and nourishing soup. If we Christians are engaging in poor and sinful actions, we are trying to add flavor to something that is just trash, and in turn, we will lose our own flavor. Yes, we can elevate the world and give it flavor, but something that is already rotten, like something that is objectively immoral, we will not give it savor by participating in it. We will lose our savor in turn. And will be good for nothing more than to be tossed out and trampled underfoot. We can easily act on a good conscience that tells us, give bread to the hungry, shelter the homeless, injustice to that person that we see. But it's harder for us sometimes to acknowledge that we must go to Mass every Sunday. We must confess our mortal sins at least once a year in justice to God. A good conscience tells us that. It's easier to encourage our children in 4-H or FFA or sports or engaging in a, you know, musical instrument to teach them the value of hard work, the value of learning something. But it's harder as parents, right, to teach them the value of keeping themselves pure and chaste before marriage, because sometimes as parents you just don't know how to do that. But I will direct you to, for instance, the short but excellent article, Making Sense of Bioethics, in the most recent Catholic Times, speaks to us this week about cohabitation. You know, something that is often seen as a good thing in the world, but which Christians like cannot participate in. It's easy to give money to the St. Vincent de Paul Society and support them, but it's harder to withhold support from a loved one, a family member, or a friend engaging in like habitual sinful action, something that's harming them. I understand the difficulty that situations and circumstances present in our pursuit of the moral life, but just because something is difficult does not excuse us from acting against a good conscience. The best flavor we can add and the best example we can provide is one that we often find unsavory in the beginning, but which will provide excellent example of Christian virtue in time. And who is the judge of whether we lose our flavor or not? It is Jesus Christ. He will judge us. He will judge our flavor by our actions and whether we follow those promptings of a good conscience. If we have lost our flavor, we can regain it. It can always be regained. Reading the Gospels, read those New Testament letters more, encourage yourself in the moral life, read the Catechism, pray together as a family daily. These things will help keep us out of the garbage, out of the trash, and it will help give us restore that flavor that we may have lost. Like Mother Teresa says, God doesn't expect success, just faithfulness, but we cannot expect to be successful if we are not first faithful to a good moral conscience. God created the world good, and He flavors it with what is very good.